When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey guys, this is Mike Medano, and you're listening to Sarcastic Remarks.
Hello guys, welcome to Sarcastic Remarks. This is the after-game review for game number 7 against the Calgary Flames. Maybe I should say the Dallas Otters now instead of the Stars. Stars lose, unfortunately, tonight by a final score of 3-2 with about 4 minutes remaining in the opening period of overtime. Let's go ahead and bring in Chris and James here tonight, guys. What a really hard game to lose. I especially after that second period when they were not able to capitalize on their chances. I had a feeling that they just had too many chances that they didn't capitalize on, and the Stars were going to take advantage of that. And for the most part, they took advantage of a couple of opportunities. A lot of players stepped up in this game, which is why this game was closer than it even was. But obviously, there's all the attention should deservedly go to Jake Oettinger, not Markstrom, not Goudreau, not Tkachuk, yep. Jake Oettinger. There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. That he is an absolute god, and I'll steal the words of Josh Bogorod because that's going to continue to echo through my head through the rest of the summer. He's not human. He is absolutely not freaking human. What's y'all's takeaways from this game tonight, you guys?
I mean, Otter is the MVP of the entire first round for the entire NHL. He was the best player without a doubt. I mean, he's crazy. And let me remind you, this summer, we went out of our way to get another goalie. We had three goalies above Jake Oettinger, and we showed no faith in him. We didn't want him in the NHL this year. Jim Neal tried everything he could to make sure he wouldn't see the NHL. And he comes out in this game, in this series, in the season, honestly. I mean, we got better in the season after Oettinger started becoming our goalie. And he proves why he should have been the starter, and he's taken the net, and it's his net for however long he will stay with the Stars, which I pray is for his entire career, because he's amazing. And the fact that he gives us a performance like this after our organization tries to not let him play, because that's what we did. Neal tried to not let him play this season in the NHL, and he comes out with a performance like this and almost single-handedly pushes us to the second round. It's crazy. He is one of the best Stars players to play.
It's absolutely crazy. We're talking about this dude. This dude is 23. He is the youngest goaltender in the playoffs, dude. And he just put on the best performance a Stars goaltender has ever had in a playoff series.
Yeah.
I agree with you, James. And that eclipses two things in my mind. And they talked about it during the broadcast. That playoff series alone was better than every single performance by Anton Khudobin in the 2020 bubble playoffs. And it was better than the performance by Marty Turco, who had 3 shutouts and lost the freaking series back in 2007, 2008, one of those playoff seasons.
And it's better than the exact mirror.
That is the single-handed best performance by any goaltender in recent memory on any team. There's no doubt in my mind.
And this game is almost an exact mirror of Blues game 7. I mean, when Ben Bishop held us in the game the entire time, we come down in overtime. We played the better overtime. I mean, we really did. We were the better team in that overtime. But like we were saying when we were watching it, it doesn't matter who the better team is overtime. It only matters who scores that next goal. So it's crazy how Ben Bishop playing in that game is the best goaltender performance I'd ever seen in my life until tonight. And Otter just eclipsed it. That's the best goaltending performance I have ever seen, ever, and probably will ever see.
And you know what's funny is that coming out of this series, everyone's going to talk about Jake Oettinger. I mean, yeah, the Flames won the series and everything, and that's great and everything for them. But he's the story of the first round. He's the story of this playoff series. And I think he's going to get way more name recognition across the NHL now. Everyone's going to know who Jake Oettinger is, especially after that Game 7 performance. And the guy's never played a playoff series in his life in the NHL, and he put on a performance like that. I mean, that's like I don't know if y'all know who Ken Dryden is, but Ken Dryden, as a rookie, took the Montreal Canadiens to the Stanley Cup Finals. And, I mean, it was shades of that. The greatest goaltending performance series I've ever seen. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, how many saves did he end up making tonight? 62?
60.
60. Just stupid. Absolutely stupid.
And just the last couple of things to mention on this game before we move on is we could have easily won this game too. I mean, we're playing this game without an entire line. We lost Foxa. We lost Glendinning. That's where your faceoffs went tonight. So it looks like the Stars didn't win a lot of faceoffs. We did win a lot of faceoffs for losing those two guys. And then we lose Robe Hintz, our second leading goal scorer. The fact that this game is even close and that after it all, we somehow feel like we should have won is crazy. 100% due to Otter. And man, I feel like I want to get on negative stuff. Like we got to bury those chances, but I mean, it's the end of the season. We can't get on that right now, but Otter deserve better is the final word on this game, I think.
Just to give you the save percentages in each game that Otter had, he played all 7 games the entire time. I'm sorry, give me a second. I think he ends up with like a 954 save percentage all combined.
My God.
Which is absolutely insane. I mean, he gets the shutout in game 2. He has a 951 in game 3, a 943 in game 4, a 935 in game 5, a 947 in game 6, and then tonight he ends with a 955.
Yeah.
And he loses.
That's the Dallas Stars way.
He didn't get below 935 the entire series.
And lost 4 out of 7 games. That's amazing. He's going to be a great goalie. And I saw a tweet from Bruce Levine. He's going to win us a Stanley Cup. I mean, I think there's no doubt there.
Got to get some more goal support for him, though.
Yeah, and, so.
While I'm thinking about it, before I forget, shout out to Owen Newkirk, who was not able to cover this game tonight because he tested positive for COVID. So just shout out to Owen there. And man, that absolutely sucks to not get a chance to do the intermissions in the post game after a game like this. So I'm sure he's raving right now. He's upset as to why he's not able to you know, cover this game tonight. But anyways, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I'm just moving on from this game. And we show the young players in this game that were so outstanding. I mean, Delandria, Kivi, so good, just coming in freezing cold and so much impact in today's game. Delandre almost scored multiple times. He basically had an assist on the first goal. And that's crazy. And that's not even the guys that we're most excited about. We have three prospects who are leading their respective leagues in points per game. And this sucks. It hurts like crap right now, especially just for Otter. But I mean, looking at how good of a team we can have, what's coming down the pipeline, and the stuff that's weighing us down on contracts, and we're still able to push one of the best teams in the league to the breaking point, literally to the breaking point, as far as you can go without losing. That's worth something. I mean, it's not the season we wanted. The regular season was very bad, but this playoff series, you can't ask for much more. I mean, the Stars played their hearts out, and what we've got coming next year is going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
I mean, I'm sure it's with all of y'all too. I mean, the game ended like 20 minutes ago, and my heart rate is still like so fast right now. Like, the game was incredible to watch, mostly because of Otter. It felt like every time that, like, okay, the Flames scored. No, every time Otter's there, every time he's lunging across the crease, he's getting that glove save on him, he's tipping it just wide. It was absolutely unreal to watch that game. I mean, it sucks that we did lose. I think I'm not as upset as y'all too, just because I had so much fun this year. I mean, this was like my first year as like a super, I'd say hardcore hockey fan this year. It was my first year as a hardcore hockey fan, and it was so much fun all the way through it, and it was sick.
You're welcome. It was our fault.
It was awesome.
Well, I don't know how you guys felt about this game, but especially after we scored the first goal, I thought for sure we were going to win this game. Because the odds were completely against us. Wrote by hints, game time decisions, not able to go. Luke Glendinning, one of our best face-off guys, is not able to go. We survived the second period somehow, getting outshot 26-4. And Otter, he doesn't even stand on his head. He stands on his head while floating at the same time. And then we're able to get that second goal to go back up 2-1. And then we come out in the first overtime, and I thought we were the better team in the first 10 minutes of the first overtime.
We were the better team in the third period, and we were the better team in the overtime overall, in my opinion. And that's what's so crazy about how similar this game is to the Blues game, in my opinion. Because exactly the same thing happened in the Blues game, is we start pushing in that second overtime. Ben almost scores that goal, and then I'm just filled with so much hope. I'm like, Bishop is going to do it. He's going to steal the series. And after that last sequence from Otter where his stick goes out of his hands and he makes four of the biggest saves I've ever seen in my life, I was like, there's no way. There's no way he's losing. And it took a lucky shot from Gaudreau to finish it. I mean, it was. The puck's on in. There's no way he's trying to get that, but it's on end. No way he does that. I mean, give him that shot 50 times, he probably makes it 5 times. That's crazy.
And the shots tonight literally had to be perfect in order to beat Oettinger. Yep. All three of the shots.
One
of
them. All three shots were top corner. Every single one.
Well, and the especially the tip by Tyler Toffoli was absolutely fantastic. And then what are the chances that Matthew Tkachuk, who hasn't scored all series, happens to score the second goal? And then Johnny Gaudreau, who's been relatively invisible when it comes to goal scoring. He's been there, especially, racking up the assists and everything like that. But, and then he puts it away for the Calgary Flames. It's just the feeling I have right now, you guys, is I'm completely devastated, obviously. I mean, who wouldn't be after watching a game like that? And I'm devastated for, more importantly, Jake Oettinger more than anybody. But I can't help but not feel mad. I'm not mad. I mean, I know that there are some things that we could talk about. You know, the power play wasn't very good in the series. We had our opportunities. Suter, especially the last two games, has looked really bad to me.
Not even talk about it.
Yeah, right. But the thing we can look at is the fact that there were a lot of good players that played extremely well and really stood up to the challenge tonight, despite the players we were missing. I mean, when you there was a whole list of players that I mentioned on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I mean, it was several players, and I mean, it was players that you wouldn't expect to be super noticeable in the game, but they were. And so here's just the people that I mentioned.
Go for it, yeah.
So and it was seven. Obviously, Otter was the first one, duh. And then I put Studenich, Namestnikov, Haskinen, Raffle, Delandria, Peterson. Not the guys you would expect to be stepping up. And maybe that was the reason why we lost the game. We didn't get the people stepping up like we wanted to. But all of those, especially those last six, because we already knew about Otter. That was duh. But, I mean, Studenich? Delandria? He's played one NHL game the entire season. And he comes in a game seven situation, and he's able to make plays and look as good as he did.
And Peterson, the breakaway, almost seals it. Yeah. Kivi Ranta, great play all since he's been in the series. He's played amazing.
Robo and hits a post. I mean, Pavelski has chances. Haskinen hits two posts.
Yeah. And that's just – it's our young guys is what I focused on this game, is our young players were thrown into a terrible situation. I mean, how hard is it? Like you said, Ryan, your second NHL game of the season, and you're thrown in freezing cold into game seven against one of the top four teams in the league. They won their division. And you played that amazing. I mean, he was one of the most dangerous players on the ice for us. And just next season, I mean, we've got some dead weight coming off the cap. We've got these young players coming up. We have a for sure number one goalie now. I mean, if he starts out in the AHL next year, I mean, then everyone's just fired. But
there's no chance. There's no chance in heck he's starting in the AHL next season. No chance.
But you go from the Stars are in a bad place. I mean, you have $9 tied up in two players that aren't your top guys anymore. I mean, that's horrible. But we re-signed Pavelski to a team-friendly contract. Robo's going to get paid this year, but it's not going to be $9 million, and even if he does get $9 million, he's going to score more. Hintz is still on a good deal for us. We've got Deadweight coming off. We've got our young defensemen coming up. There is so much potential for this team to be so good next year and moving forward, and it's just crazy how transitory this season was. Like, to be in such a bad spot, like – cap-wise and standing-wise in the beginning of the season, and then to claw all the way back, get into the wild card spot, and then play a great series where the young guys and the future of your team is shown off. And that I didn't think I would have hope after a game seven loss in the first round, but the biggest thing I have is hope for this team in the future. And I mean, I wasn't feeling good. I thought we would have to be bad for a while, but I don't think this team's going to be bad. We're going to come back better next year.
So you go ahead, James. Go ahead.
I didn't know what Gurionov's contract looked like either. Gurry's contract ended this year too, right?
I've got it pulled up.
$5 million contract as well, and then you got also Radulov coming off of a $5 million contract. You got $10 million in cap space. You got to expect at least you're probably expecting half of that to go to Robo, right?
More than that, at least.
Yeah.
So, and then it's like there's so much that we can do in this offseason.
And you have room to get people too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With all that stuff coming off, Klingberg, after this series and the year he had, Klingberg's not coming back. And if he's coming back, he's getting paid less than $5 million. But, I mean, we have so much room for people to get paid, to bring in new people. I mean, who doesn't want to play for a goalie like Otter after that series? I mean, if you want to win in the next 5 years, you better come to the Dallas Stars.
So here's an interesting thing that I wanted to point out. Gurionov and Delandria both got into the game before Alexander Radulov, which is extremely interesting to me because I understand that, you know, Radulov hasn't been playing good. But it's interesting that Bonus put in Delandria before Radulov. And I mean, I think that says a lot about, you know, Bonus moving forward, possibly.
I think that says a lot about Radulov checking out. I mean, he's not on.
Also, Delandria was going to be put in over Gurionov as well. Actually, it was over Glendinning. No, Delandria was going in for Glendinning. Gurionov wasn't going to play.
Hintz was going to play.
So Delandria was going to be favored over both Radulov and Gurionov.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really. I just thought that was really interesting and something that we should point out, because it, for as good as he's been for the Dallas Stars, it really sucks to see Alexander Radulov go out on a note like this, because he didn't get that opportunity to play in a game seven because of the way he played in previous games. Yeah. And this is the last we're going to see of Alexander Radulov.
So. Well, it's his own fault. He wears his emotion on his sleeve and there's nothing there. I mean, mentally he's back in Russia. So if he wants to be there, go for it.
So here is, and we're not going to do a full off-season preview right now, but this is just looking at cap friendly right now and the players that are RFAs and UFAs this upcoming summer. And we hadn't even considered it because I really thought we were going to win this game. But here's who we got. Alexander Radulov, he made $6.25 million, James. He made over $6 million. So that's coming off the books, and he will not be returning to the Dallas Stars. I feel very confident in saying that. Denis Gurionov, what is he worth? Do the Stars keep him? Do the Stars let him go? Michael Roffel, after that playoff series and the way that he ended the regular season, he better come back. Vlad Nemestikov, the way that he played just in Game 7 alone warrants discussion on whether he should return. Jason Robertson, he's gonna bank. He's an RFA along with Denis Gurionov. So those guys should be returning to the Stars, but we'll see if about Gurionov. Marian Studenich, you know, young 23-year-old guy. Is there some offensive upside in that? Defenseman John Klingberg, is he going to be re-signed? There's still that glimmer of hope that some people have that he's going to return to the Stars, and now. Jim Nill has a really hard conversation to have with him and what he thinks he might be worth. Andre Sekera, who I don't think will be returning to the Stars. The Stars never used him once in the playoffs this season. And then obviously you've got Jake Oettinger, who, I mean, he should bank. I mean, he absolutely should bank. He is an RFA. And then you got Scott Wedgwood and Braden Holtby, who are both UFAs. So who do the Stars bring out of those two guys? I mean, there's a ton of questions to be looking at with the Stars roster. And now Jim Nill's real job now gets started at this point, but you know, right before the draft and then, you know, through this offseason and seeing what he can do with this roster and who deserves what and who goes, who stays and all that stuff.
And just you saying that, I just think of all the potential you have. I mean, you can go get a top six guy, a real solid top six guy, a top three guy with the cap space we have right now. I mean, you really can. And if we don't go out and get three veterans again, we have all the roster space for our young guys to come in, for Harley to be a mainstay. I mean, for Delandria to come in, for one of the three league leaders to come in and make an impact. I mean, this is going to be a very exciting offseason for the Stars. And even if nothing happens, we just leave the cap space just for future considerations. I'm happy just with playing our young guys. I mean, and I think we have so much potential there. And I'm so excited for it. Like I said, the main word that sticks for me is hope. Hope for next year.
James, what are your thoughts as I read those names and Christian talks about those three guys that look like they're going to be stars in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at people who I feel like have been on the Stars for a while. A lot of them have tapered off completely, did not do a lot in the regular season. Didn't do a lot in the season series either. I mean, a lot of those contracts you're okay with seeing go, honestly.
Almost all of them, I think.
Yeah.
Except for the obvious RFAs.
Yeah.
Well, and then I think the biggest question of all of this is, Does Rick Bowness return?
Hey, hockey fans. The pursuit for the Stanley Cup is finally on. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in all of sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win. Like for me, it's going to be the Dallas Stars. And get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
No.
I hope not.
The way you're going to want to play the young guys that are coming up, they're all offensive guys. These are not two-way guys. These are not Rick Bowness players. I mean, Rick, he might retire. There's been talk about that. But even if he doesn't, he should not be given another contract. I mean, I know we talked about he technically has one of the best years in the past 10 years for the Stars points-wise. That's a silly argument. That's obviously due to the way the league was this year. I mean, the first wild card spot is not one of the best seasons for the Stars. It obviously isn't. We know that. That's a silly argument. The complete offensive fall off from a lot of players, that's not all luck. I mean, they might not be playing great, but there's a common denominator there. It's obviously Rick Bowness. He's playing a system, and it almost beat the Flames. You'll give him credit for that. It works very well for the playoffs. But, I mean, if we didn't have Jake Oettinger playing the way he was, this would have been a five-game series.
And on the point of Bowness, I mean, there were multiple times in the series where what's the Calgary's head coach Sutter. Name? Sutter. You could see that Sutter had made, like, adjustments in the TV timeouts, and there was never an answer from Bowness. Like it was never during a period. It was never during games. He was getting out coached the whole game, and Otter basically just held him in.
I think that's true, James.
It's not like Bowness is like the worst coach in the world either. I mean, he's obviously proven that by getting to the playoffs twice and then making a good run in 2020 and then having a great series here in 2022. I just don't think he's going to be a reason why your team is going to be playing better.
Yep. Oh, Ryan, you're muted. Well, I've got a question for y'all. So as we summarize this season, obviously, the regular season wasn't exactly what we had hoped, but after this series, what is this season to you? Is this a success of a season, or is this a failure?
It's a success for one reason and one reason only. It's because Jake Oettinger finally got his shot and proved to the world that he will win the Vezina at some point in his career.
He didn't get his shot. He stole his shot. He took the reins. By literally, we talked about Survivor. He literally got rid of all the other goaltenders on the team and took it. And that's the only way he got it. And he's obviously better than all of them. And it took injuries to all three of them for it to happen. And it's ridiculous.
It's for me, this season is from what we were expecting from the Stars at the beginning of the season, it's a loss. From what we were expecting halfway through the season, To me, it's more of a jackpot. I was not even expecting the Stars to make it into the playoffs, let alone do anything once they made it there. I mean, they took them all the way to game 7. That was the most exciting game ever. I mean, you can't ask for more from what you were from when you're expecting nothing from them. Yeah. So,
and I'm going to give it a success. I mean, when you look at it, we have $19 million that are tied up in two players that aren't producing where they should, not even close. And to have as good a team as we had that almost beat one of the best teams in the league with that much dead cap space, and that's not even mentioning Radulov, Gurionov, Klingberg, Suter. It's not even them part of the dead weight. Only $19 million and two players who are decent for us. I mean, so much dead cap on this team, and we still have the best series loss for a team in round one. I mean, that's all I can ask for with that much dead weight on the cap. But it's coming off next year, so the expectations are raised, definitely.
And I really think that Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, they need to step up their game.
I think
the answer, I mean, because they're going to be here either way. No one's going to take their contracts right now. Their value is very low because they didn't produce like they have been the past couple of years. And because of their cap hit. Their cap hit is just huge.
And no moving blocks.
So Jim Nill has... I think the answer if you're Jim Nill is that you don't take bonus back and you go out and find somebody that can pull out the best out of those two guys and find a balance between the two. I mean, we have seen two coaches in Dallas Stars current history that have been complete opposite. We saw the Lindy Ruff era where we were the best team in the Western Conference, but we had absolutely no defense, no goaltending. And now we have most of the mid defense, but amazing goaltending and a defensive system that could work if we had more firepower. But we didn't have enough firepower because of the way that the coach had the system going. And I think that's going to be the answer going forward is you have to get, I mean, in order for this team to take the next step, to allow these young guys to come in, is those two guys, they are the key. They may not be the best in the top line for the Dallas Stars anymore, but they are the key for the success of the Dallas Stars moving forward because of their cap hits and because of the fact that they have not contributed like they have in the past.
Yeah, and I've talked a lot about mediocrity, and dead cap like that is something that will keep you in mediocre even when you have amazing rookies like we did this year. So I totally agree. If you want to move from mediocre bubble team to real solid contender, those guys are going to have to, they're going to have to play, or we're going to have to get rid of them and blow something up. So,
and honestly, for me, I'm quite on the positive side with Seguin. Honestly, he played a lot better in the second half of the season. I felt like if he played that way through the whole season, he probably makes it to 30 goals pretty easily. I mean, I feel like Sagan's going to play good. My question really is going to be for Ben. Like, is he just too old now? Can he just not get there? It's,
I mean, no one could say they're too old now. I mean, look at Pavelski.
Well, I mean, and look at Bergeron, look at Marchand, look at insert name here, Ovechkin, Crosby. I mean, I know that some of these guys are, you know, higher level players and more elite players than the guys we're talking about, but we still need them to be able to produce like we need them to. And moving forward, those are your guys that really need to be the top guys. They need to be top guys again. And we need to have two scoring lines, which is what we didn't have this season. And that's, I really think that's the difference in the series. I really do. Is that when we just didn't have enough depth, and when players went out, we just didn't have the guys to step up to score goals for us. I mean, Roope Hintz, 30-something goals, whatever it was. He was close to 40. Huge part of our offense, gone like that. And then we're going to replace him with Gurionov. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting questions that we have going on. And I mean, there's a lot of things are popping up now that the season is over for the Stars. And I really wish that it wasn't, but unfortunately it ends tonight.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of time to ponder them. So,
so I think we're going to call it here tonight, you guys. I know it's a little earlier than normal, but Chris is still in Farmersville and he needs to drive home to C-Stat tonight. So,
So
good luck for Chris.
Yeah, just closing out, just thanks for everybody so much for watching. I mean, all season long, the season was one of the most frustrating that the Stars have had in recent memory. But you can't say it wasn't exciting. It was so exciting every step of the way. Seeing a new generation of players, like for me, I had known nothing other than Ben and Sagan for forever. that was my hockey experience, was Ben and Sagan. And just to watch new players and watch the core of the team change was awesome throughout the season. We'll get back to your regularly scheduled once a week off-season content shortly. Yeah, there you go. Don't know exactly. We might take a little break. We'll see. We might just get suckered in too much to the playoffs. We'll find out. But thanks so much for watching, guys. It's so much fun. Y'all make it so we can do this for free, pretty much, and we get to spew our thoughts into the internet and make cool graphics and make
and it people all, actually listen.
Make it all official and stuff. And no matter how small it is, it's still super cool to do it for you guys.
James, you got anything for us tonight? Any final thoughts before we close out the 2022 season?
My bracket is shot. if you want there's to go look at it, it's
I was actually already thinking about that. I was just
first
podcast. If we could do our first podcast maybe in a couple days and talk about how badly our brackets went, because mine
I'd really rather not.
Yeah, I need a break.
Oh man. Well, we will have some off-season content for you guys. I'm going to be full in on this. I suggest we all find a team to root for.
Carolina.
I think Carolina is probably going to be my team. Screw the Flames. No offense to the Flames. We're just mad right now because we lost to them. But I'm picking Carolina to go all the way. And we'll see where we go from there. And yeah. We got a lot of things to talk about for this offseason, you guys, but we will have some offseason content for y'all. So, anyways, that's going to do it for us here tonight. Unfortunately, the Stars lose 3-2 in overtime to the Calgary Flames. Great series, fun series. Otter stands on his head while levitating, somehow does it amazingly, and still loses the series. And with that, we're going to do our quick little stuff and get out of here. Please go and check out StarcasticRemarksShop.com for the phase one of all of our merch options. We'd really appreciate if you guys would go out and support us there. That's the best way that you can support us and what we do here on the Hockey Podcast Network. We appreciate you guys listening this whole season. And along with Chris, along with James, my name is Ryan. We will catch you guys on the flip side, and we'll be back with you guys very soon.
Is it October yet?